Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. As Pastor Jeff said earlier, I called him one day. I was just Googling churches in Henderson, spiritual church in Henderson, and I saw his picture, and I was getting ready to call him and, you know, say, hey, I'm Pastor Jerry. I want to hook up. And then I scrolled over and saw his wife, and I said, thought I was going to call him and reprimand him for having his grandbaby on the thing with him. So, you know, well, it's okay. It's all right. It's all good. So, glory. Glory. I flow in a teaching mode. I flow in a prophetic mode. So we're just going to just have your track shoes on, have everything on and ready to roll. Amen. When I was praying earlier, the Lord gave me a word for today, this morning. And it says that I, the one and only God, is mending souls. I'm sending the searing anointing to rejuvenate and repair the hearts of my people. Yes, I know the war of the world has wounded you. I know there have been casualties, those who've been lost to the world. But I'm the God who sees the end and the beginning and everything in between. I will not be mocked. Those who sow into me, the living and almighty God, will reap restoration, honor, promotion, power, and favor. But these blessings could have come only as I led you through the valley of the shadow of death to test the depth of your faithfulness. You've heard it before. You're in a season of supernatural happenings, visitations, and heavenly occurrences. So stand in the holy expectation, walk in the authority I've given you, and live out the destiny I've planned for you, thus saith the Lord. And we'll say, I receive that. I receive that. You got to walk in it. You got to walk in it. You got to walk in it. And God is calling us Christians to walk in what we've already been given. Paul says that we should live worthy of the calling. And so this evening, we're going to share some things and just be moved by the power of God. So, but first of all, I just want to tell you that I'm honored to be here. I'm Jerry Campers, pastor of Empowered Life Church, and we've been here for about 5 years, and I met Pastor Jeff and his sweet, wonderful wife. We love going to Olive Garden. We eat all the breadsticks we can and all the salad we can, and she'll eat her minestrone, and then he and I, we'll eat our, the gnocchi. The gnocchi, we love it. We love it. So we just tear it up right there. And it's a blessing. So I want to give honor to God. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Thank you, Pastor John. Appreciate you much. All the pastors who are here, Pastor Dodge, the ones I don't see, thank you. My church members who came, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're just going to end my wife. Oh, glory. Save the best for last. Glory. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So without her, I wouldn't be here. Praise God. Well, I wouldn't be half the man I am right now without her. So, all right, let's get to it here. Y'all ready to get blessed? Okay, here we go. Now, many would say that we're here to celebrate 10 years of God's faithfulness to Spirit Life Church. But I'll say prophetically that we're here to celebrate these pastors' faithfulness to the house of God and to the call of God on their lives. I'll say it again. We're here to celebrate these pastors' faithfulness to the house of God and to the call of God on their lives. Because, see, anybody can start a church. Oh, y'all are good now. Thank you. Y'all are wonderful. Thank you. Anyone can start a church. But it takes few men and women of God to sustain it, to stay in the hard times, to stay when you got three people, to stay when you don't have anywhere to have church, or to stay with a ministry. It takes a true person, a true visionary, a true person with spiritual fortitude to continually walk in their calling. Think about that, folks. Anybody can start a church. It's easy. Get a 501(c) and you're all ready to roll, baby. But what are you going to do when the devil comes knocking at your door? Are you going to stand firm? Now watch this. The Bible says this, and it's so clear about being faithful. And so we're going to discuss this evening a few things. One, faithfulness to God, and one, the faithfulness that Pastor Jeff and Pastor Di have felt in this church. So Psalms 36:5 says this, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." Psalms 86:15 says this, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Psalms 89:1 says this, "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known to the generations." Psalms 89:8 says this, "O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O God, and your faithfulness surrounds you." Faithful. See, God is faithful, but are we faithful to God? God is faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but are we faithful to God? When things get rough, when things get tough, we kind of pitter-patter out. We kind of begin to miss church. We kind of forget to read our word. We stop praying because you know what? We're not seeing God move. The word of God says that we walk by what? Faith, not by what? Wow. But even though as strong Christians, we get weary and we begin to walk by sight and not by faith. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And watch this. God is saying, "I couldn't have done this without you, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Di. I couldn't have done this without you. Because your faithfulness has allowed me to be seen by these people." Hear what I'm saying. Hear what God is saying. Your faithfulness, your fortitude, your desire to not quit when you could have gone off back to Michigan. You could have gone to California. You could have gone many, many places. But you know what? You said, "God said stay." God said stay. And you made the choice, though people may have said, "Girl, boy, why are you at that church? What? I mean, you only got three people, four people. Why are you at that church? People acting crazy. Why? Because you said, God said so. God said so. God said so. So I'm going to obey God." The Bible says that if you're faithful and obedient, you what? You eat the good of land. If you're faithful and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. See, as Christians, we've got to be faithful and obedient. And there's a difference. I'll show you in a second. Watch this. Luke 16:10 says this, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much." I'll say it again. He who is faithful in the least is faithful in much. Now, what does that mean? He who is faithful when you don't want to go. He who is faithful when you're tired. He who is faithful when you can't see what's going on. He who is faithful when everything is telling you, "What are you doing in this position?" He who is faithful when they get a carrot to go somewhere else. Or do something. He who is faithful. If you're faithful in the small things, the things that at that present time don't matter, the things that you have a better opportunity somewhere else. See, there's someone right here right now who's thinking about leaving their spouse. If you're faithful. If you're faithful. You've been married for 10 plus years. If you're faithful, you got two kids. If you're faithful. If you're faithful. If you're faithful. Hallelujah. If you're faithful, I tell people in my church, you know, I just stay fat. Just stay F-A-T. Faithful, available, and teachable. Amen. Just stay fat. I want as many fat people in my church as I can get. Faithful, available, and teachable. I don't want skinny people. You know why? Because they can slide out the door. I want some fat people. You got it. Because you'll see them leaving. Hey, come back here. I want some people who are faithful, available, and teachable. If you think you know it all, you don't know nothing. You're showing your ignorance. Well, I know, Pastor. Well, I've been saved for 17 years. Well, why are your kids bad? Well, why your husband don't like you? Why you got a hoopty and you've been saved for 17 years and you can't keep a job? But you know everything. I don't know why I'm going there, but I'm going there right now. It's, you know, okay, come on now. Come on. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it, folks. Are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? Wow. We're moving on now. Here we go. Now watch this. If you're faithful, there's a difference between having faith and being faithful, okay? I have faith that I'm gonna go home with my wife and we're gonna go to bed tonight and watch one of our spiritual shows, probably First 48. Okay, I have faith in that. I have faith that'll probably happen, verse 48, something that's godly, all right? I have faith in that it happens all the time. But see, faithfulness is when you're going to believe something before you see it.
Yes, sir.
And you keep holding on and holding on and holding on. And even when the whole world is saying you've lost your mind. See, right here is faithfulness.
Amen.
Faithfulness. 10 years. Amen. 10 years. 10 years. And you know what, folks, quite frankly, it's easy to be faithful of a church for 10 years that has 700 people. That's easy. 1,000 people, that's easy. But if you're faithful in the small, he'll make you ruler over much. Much of what? Whatever he wants you to have.
Amen.
Because what he wants us to have is much greater than what, because the Bible says that no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind can conceive what God has planned for those who love him. But it is revealed through his Spirit. If you're faithful, faithful to church, faithful to prayer, faithful to the basics, church, prayer, Bible reading, and worship. Wow, what a concept, the four pillars of the faith. Church, worship, Bible reading, and worship, and what else did I say? Prayer. That's basic. But as Christians, if we can't do that, how can we lead somebody? See, you can't lead until you're a follower. I'll say it again. Have y'all ever been driving down the road like 80 miles an hour and you hit a speed bump? That's just what happened right there, okay? Hit a speed bump. You can't lead anybody until you're ready to follow somebody.
Amen.
You can't because you're unteachable. You're not fat. You're faithful and you're available and you're a know-it-all. Faithful, available, teachable. Faithful, available, teachable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch this. Luke 9:59 says this. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first and bid farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, we want to play both sides of the fence. And y'all know what happens, right? You fall on the fence. It's not, and it doesn't feel good either. Glory to his name. You're trying to walk the fence, and then you slip, and you fall in the middle, and you're in pain. Make a choice, folks. Make a choice. And this isn't a sin issue. It's a heart issue. And that's what we've been teaching around the church right now. It's a heart issue. See, Pastor Jeff's word and Pastor Diane's pretty face won't make you come to church when you have had a hell of a week.
Amen.
When you have had the boss down your throat for 4 days. When your kids are acting crazy and they got sneezing and sniffling. It's your heart makes you come here. It's your heart. And see, Christians need a heart change. They need to have their heart rearranged and changed and massaged into a mindset of, you know what? I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it for God. I did it for God. I did it for God. We're here to celebrate 10 years.
Amen.
I did it for God. I didn't do it my way like the song says. I did it for God. And when we do it for God, he gets the glory. No, watch this. We don't get the glory initially. But when we do it for God, he says, wow, I can trust them. They're not arrogant. They're not conceited. And now I can show the world how awesome they are.
Yeah.
Glory, glory, glory. There's more. Watch this now. Moving on. God is saying he knows you've given up a lot, Pastor Diana, Pastor Jeff. He knows you have. He's watched the things being taken away, being crept away. He's seen you literally. He has actually seen you all have your hands, things prod out of your hands. But this is what it says. Watch this. He says, Matthew 10:27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter, he began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Jesus had to answer, watch this. Here we go. Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecution, See, sometimes it hurts being a pastor. I know nothing about pastoring at all, but sometimes it hurts. Right, Pastor Dodge? Sometimes it hurts. It hurts a little bit when you give someone your heart, you take them food, you give them gas money, and then they say you never want to help them at all, and they leave the next week. It kind of hurts. It hurts a little bit. But you know what? We do it to God.
Amen.
We do it to the Lord.
Right.
Why? Because we love God more than we love people. Thank God, because we'd be in jail right now. We both carry guns, so we'd be in jail right now.
Amen.
If it weren't for God in our lives, y'all be visiting down at Clark County Killer Crisis. We're faithful. 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 Because, see, we know that we'll get it back down the road. That's called investing in people. People are going to spit in your face. You're going to wash their car and vacuum their clothes and watch their kids, and they're going to spit in your face. That's just the nature of heathen. Oh, because Christians would never do that. Spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians would never, never do that. Oh, my gosh, never, 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 never. Because, you know, we have the love of God in our lives. I found out that there are more Christians who don't know what love is. My dog Reba knows what love is more than most Christians do. You know why? Because she comes and hangs out with us all the time and she never complains. You have Christians who complain all the time. When they go to heaven, God's going to kick them out. No, I'm kidding. It's like, you shut up. You complain. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's more than 4 hours. Long-suffering. Long-kindness, gentleness. My gosh. And see, there's no law against that. You know why? Because, see, you can't regulate love. You can't regulate faithfulness. You know why? Because there's no barometer on it. There's no way to quantify faithfulness. You can't. You can't quantify love. Well, how do you put love in a bottle? You just can't. You just got to show it and prove it. When someone kicks you in the face and when someone says, I love you, and they don't come back and you steal their form, that's love. That's love. The love of God. Now, I don't mean the crazy love that you have with the teenagers and the people who get beaten and they say, I know that. I mean people who say, you know what? God said stay. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to love this pastor. I'm going to love these people. And I don't care what happens, I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to walk the walk of love. It's a heart change. It's a heart change, folks. It's a heart change. And God is calling us Christians to have a heart change. To have a heart change. To change our mindsets, to change our attitudes, to stop acting out when we don't get our way and walk in love. Love. I hit another speed bump, by the way, just then. I felt the Spirit. Oh, but Pastor, it doesn't matter. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that means while we were still cussing, drinking, partying, fornicating, acting crazy, God loved us enough to die for us. Woo, thank God for that, I tell you. Think about it. But yet we as Christians see a new Christian say a bad word or don't say hallelujah properly and we judge them? Golly. Thank God you're not God. Thank God you're not God. Watch this. So now, we're here to celebrate 10 years. So let's do a little Hebrew search, right? Okay, now watch this. In the Hebrew, the number 10 symbolizes absolute completeness. Completeness simply means having all the necessary or appropriate parts. Pastor Jeff, you got it all. God is saying you got it all. You've got all you need right now. You've got all you need to go to your next level. And I don't say that serendipitously. I say that prophetically. That was good, right? I don't say it just a heck of it. That was God. Okay, now watch this. 10 is also a number of perfection and of divine order. For example, 10 things created by God in the first day, 10 things created by God in the sixth day. There are 10 plagues, 10 commandments. The 10th or the tithe belongs to who? Oh, we have some non-tithers. Let's try it again. The tithe belongs to who? Oh, there we go. Praise God. Okay. Y'all get scared when I say 10%, but I'll tell you, 10%,
Think about what you have to give if you were in the Old Testament. If you didn't pay it, it's one-fifth. So every time you went on vacation and spent your tithe, it's God's anyway, times one-fifth. I hit a speed bump. That's where I know to kind of just plant myself and go, okay, we're going to talk about this for a while, praise God. But that's the wrong time. Now watch this. So 10 is a very important spiritual milestone. The 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is called a yod, Y-O-D. It rhymes with mode. Is the picture up there? It should be there pretty soon. Now, the letter yod, being the smallest of letters, is also a picture of humility. When I think of humility, I think of Pastor Jeff. Oh, awesome. Pastor Di. Humble, 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 humble. He says that I'll give my shirt. He'll give the shirt, the pants, even if they don't fit. That's right. Because I've seen him do it. We went with him a few months ago, last year, to go over and feed the hungry. Awesome. Feed the homeless. Awesome. 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 He wasn't doing it for show because you know why? He didn't make any money off of it, and he didn't get the glory off of it. He did it because he obeyed God. Heart change. Heart change. Heart change. And watch this. This is what God says about humility. Psalms 9:12 says this. He remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. And Pastor Diana, God is saying that he's not forgotten you. God is saying that the ministries that are right now contained in you, it's time to let them go. It's time to birth them. You've had them for 10 years. You've gone back and forth. Should I? You talked to your husband, and he's saying, he's told you to go. And you go, ah. He said, go, ah. Obey your husband. Obey the prophet this morning or this evening. The women's ministry, you want you to start? Start it. Start it. There are women waiting on to know how to be a wife like you. Trust me. I know wives, they're not like you. Okay? There are women in this city waiting to understand, how do I love my husband when he's a jerk? Now, he's never a jerk. I know that at all. You know. So, glory, glory. But they're waiting on you. They're waiting on you, Pastor. They're waiting on you. So God is saying, stop sitting on your, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. You're not. But greater is he that is in you. He's in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 10:17 says, Lord, you have heard the desire of your humble. You will prepare their heart. Everyone say, I'm humble.
I'm humble.
Okay, now, you all know that when you say things like that, you're now inviting God to prove it. I said, we had a Bible study Wednesday night. I said, y'all know that when you say, Lord, make me faithful, you're saying, God, bring me situations to build up my faith. You're saying, Lord, give me boldness. You're bringing up situations that are going to eradicate your fear. And we went, oh, yes, he's doing that. So when you say, I'm humble, he's going to bring situations in your life to bring that thing out in you. If you have a touch of arrogance or conceit or self-righteousness or narcissism, he's going to wipe it out. He's going to bring someone that you deem lower than you over you. Hey! Oh! Yo, no one's shouting now. No one's shouting now, boy, I tell you. Woo! Glory! Think about that. Lord, make me, Lord, show me how to be humble. Wow, watch this. Here we go. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. See, when you're humble, he'll teach you his way. And watch this. God is saying to you all, your humility has caught God's attention. Your humility has caught God's attention. Now, so this, he says, humility is the key to the door of God's heart. Humility is the key to the door of God's heart. When you walk in humility, when you walk in humbleness, you have God's heart. See, I've got my wife's heart. No one else has but me. It's all mine. She's got my heart. No one else has but me. It's all mine. I have found the key to Tony's heart. Glory to his name. My wife has found the key to my heart. It's four-letter word, F-O-O-D, It's all it is, baby. It's all it is. Kier. Well, never mind. Kier is a word we say in our church called keeping it real, but it's a kier. So, but you know, so folks, when you walk in humbleness, when you walk in humility, when you walk in with an attitude of servitude, you open the door to God's heart. And your pastors see it too. When you want to serve behind the scenes, when you want to serve and not be given honor, humility. Like you two right here. You serve at your church. You serve. And you've never asked for anything. And God's saying, right now, I'm going to reward that with what I just told you earlier and with more. Okay? And by the way, okay? No, listen to me. Hallelujah. You can't control everything. Okay? God's in control. Okay? So he's trying to transport you via light. What is the thing on Star Trek but it's called what speed, Paul? Warp speed, thank you. He's trying to take you warp speed from where you are to where he wants you to be. Okay? So let him do that. Just pretend you're on the spiritual surgical table and let Dr. God take care of it, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I stole that. Sorry, Paul, stole it. Okay? Just let Dr. God handle it. Because you know what? There will be no scars when he handles it. The recovery period will be a lot faster. And you will actually be able to run before you walk. Bible says to run the race. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, before I forget, Pastor Dodger, go ahead and hire that assistant you need to hire. Okay? Go ahead and hire him. You are overwhelmed. Go ahead and hire that person you need to get. Just get him. Just go ahead. God will supply the money, but you step out in faith. So go ahead and do it. Talk to your wife. Say, honey, this is what God says. So just do it. All right, here we go. Moving on. Praise God. The yod is the smallest letter, and as a point, it refers to the primal vibration of the universe. The yod usually represents the point of wisdom from which all begins. It also represents the essence, spark of God, his soul, within each of us. The numerical equivalent of the yod is 10. The number 10 is the fundamental building block for every aspect of creation. And watch this. 10 years. How long is pregnancy? 40 weeks. 10 months. God is saying that you, pastors, keep pushing. Keep pushing. The baby that you believe God for is crowning. His head is sticking out of there, and just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. And you push by prayer, you push by worship, you push by the word, and you push by fasting. Because the breakthrough that y'all are going to go over now is going to come through prayer and fasting. And you need to talk to your wife, see how long you need to fast, but do a Daniel fast or more, and just watch God move. Because see, you haven't seen yet what God has for you. You haven't. Because you know what? You and I are big dreamers. We know that. It's big dreamers. Me and Pastor, big dreamers. But think about it. Our daddy says, boy, please, that ain't nothing. That's all you want? That's all you want? Well, if that's all you want, no, take yours. Our dad's a big dreamer. Big dreamer. God's saying, keep pushing. God says right now for y'all, stop looking for it. It's already here. It's already done. Stop looking for it. Now, the yod also means arm or hand, and its form also suggests that a hand that is reaching toward heaven. The word of the Lord says to you, as long as you keep your hands extended in humbleness to me, he'll keep his hand of grace and mercy on you. I'll say it again. As long as you keep your hands extended in humbleness to him, he'll keep his hand of grace and mercy on you. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want God's hand on you of grace and mercy? Amen? Stay humble. Don't ever, Bible says, don't think of yourselves more than you really are. Don't. You ain't all that. We are nothing without, you know, and I had to tell my church last week, y'all, at the core, we are innately evil. We are the scum of the earth as human beings. Why? Because we're selfish. How many of y'all had to teach a kid to say mine? To say no. To share. I teach mine to share. Still doing it. They're 10 and 9. So, folks, at the core, we are evil. But because God says, you know what? I love you more than that. And I love you enough to change you, not to keep you where you are. Like I said, I'm going to wash you really, really good. I'm going to put you in that spiritual wash machine and put some Tide in there and some Fab. Y'all still got Fab around the house? And wash you clean with humility. Humility. Humility is okay, folks, if you take it. But when you fight it, that's when you lose. I hit no speed bump. I got to explain this, okay? Watch this. When you have an issue with bending to submit, God will either warm you up to where the metal can bend, or just break you in half. Train up a child when he is young. So when he is old, he won't depart from it. My son's 9 years old now, and I've been wrestling with him for 5 years. And today we wrestled, and he flipped me. He's growing up. And there's going to come a season that I can't beat him anymore. And folks, for many of us, God's saying, you know what? I used to be able to bend you, but now you know what? You're too big for your britches. You won't bend anymore. You won't go where I say go. You won't do what I say do. And you know what? I'm going to leave it to yourself. Humility. Humility. We're moving on. Watch this. Now, here's some verses about God's mighty hand. Likewise, this is 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed in what, folks? Humility, for God resists the who? Proud, and give grace to the humble. That means that he'll give the grace person another chance. Another chance. But to the proud, he's stiff arms. Oh, you think you're all that? Well, go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead. Go on. Tell your mama, go ahead. Because you'll need me. Because I'm God. I'm the one and only God. And so when you go out in the world, or when you, what did we call it, bump your head a few times, there's an old saying that if you've ever wondered why you aren't as close to God as you used to be, let there be no thought about which one has moved. He ain't going anywhere. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. And I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Every second I need thee. So we've got to get to a mindset, folks, that you know what? We are nothing without him. Nothing. Nothing. The Bible says that we are filthy rags. If Jesus can humble himself and become like a man, Jesus, who we worship and serve, who died on the cross and rose 3 days later, if he can do it, what's wrong with us? Watch this now. Verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you when? When he wants to. That's what it really means. When he wants to. Right now, I'm in a season of humbling, and I'm going to take it. Why? Because I know that in due time, he will raise me up. And the whole world will hear my testimony. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. That's not my mom doing it. Glory! Glory! See, don't share your testimony until you pass the test, okay? That's the key. Okay, that's wisdom, okay, folks? Don't share your testimony until you pass the test. Girl, you know what? Oh, Jesus, my bills and these kids and my husband and my bond. Who wants to hear that? But when you get out of the quicksand, then you can talk about it, folks. You're still in there. You're still all covered in poop and everything. Just keep on moving. Keep on moving. Hallelujah. Psalm 6:38 says this, my whole being follows hard after you and clings close to you. Your right hand upholds me. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures
evermore. Psalms 20:26 says, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." There we go, hand again. Psalms 98:1 says, "A psalm, sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory." Everyone say, "I've won." It says that his holy arm has shown his saving power. See, I want to stay humble to stay under his hand like they have. See, they've stayed humble 10 years. 10 years. I'm almost at 5. I'm nowhere close to that. I'm going to follow what they do. I'm going to keep doing what they're doing. Why? Because I want to learn. See, and I said this years ago. I said, everyone should be pulling somebody up. You should be gleaming someone who's on your level, and you should be wanting to grab and get something who's where you want to be. If you're not, folks, you're missing that threefold cord that isn't so easily broken. So pull somebody up, glean back and forth to someone on your level, and then go, "Wow, okay, now, how do I do that?" Faithful, available, and teachable. Stay fat. We're moving on.